102, I think, actually. Sorry. Yes. Psalms 102. We're going to talk about the seeds forever. I'm so glad for that. Because we're in an ever-changing world, aren't we? Things die. Things change. We grow old. Things pass away. We lose things. But the one thing that never changes and never will change is the Word of God. And what Jesus has done, what He has said, and what He's yet to do, that's not changed. So I want to talk about that because we are, I was telling you the other day, I was talking to this World War II guy. Well, World War II, he could have been World War II, but he was 88 years old in that generation. We got talking the other day at a Walmart, talked about how much he's seen the world change since his 88 years. How the world's just, he can't believe the world he even lives in, how different it is. And I'm just thankful that God has made a way that this isn't where we're trapped at. Hey, John and George Ann, good to see y'all. My ADHD, sorry. I'm so thankful that we're not trapped here, that this isn't where it ends, that there's more to come than what we see, and there's more to come than what we understand. And how the seed of God and the Word of God is forever. That means with no interruption, continually. So we're going to get into scriptures about this. And hopefully I can get y'all more excited than you look right now before we leave. Psalms 102. And we're going to begin with verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and your remembrance unto all generations. That's us. Understand, this was written 2,600 years ago. And is not God remembering this generation right here? Are we not just as much part of the seed of God as David was, as Moses was, as Job was, as Peter and John? We're the same seed, and God remembered us. He even remembered you millennials. Isn't that awesome? He remembered this generation. And God endures forever. Presidents change. Kings fall. Sports teams collapse. The stock market's up and down. But the one thing that never changes is the God of the universe who sits on the throne, who is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That'll never change. It's not changed, and it never will. He endures forever. You're saying, okay, I know God endures forever. So what? How's that affect me? Well, let's just say this. If you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, and He endures forever, doesn't that mean something? Doesn't it mean that we endure forever as well? Because I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir. We know what joint heir means. The things He has, I have. The things He is, I is. That's what I experience. I'm a joint heir of Christ. So if He's forever, hallelujah, I'm forever. I don't have any expiration date. I will not go sour or spoiled. I don't even have, and this is going to drive you religious people nuts in here, because you love a certain verse that is preached in Hebrews. I don't even have an appointment with death. I don't, church. For all of you that love quoting the old traditional, for and once it was meant for men, once appointed for men to die, and then after this the judgment. That's right. Go to the next verse. So Christ was offered. Jesus canceled out my appointment with death. Church, if I'm in Christ, I'm not going to ever die. My seed is going on forever and ever and ever and ever. I may lose this flesh, but my seed is still alive. And I won't know any different. I'm not going to be laying the ground knowing I'm dead. Because if I did, church, I'd come alive quick. I just tell you, if I woke up 6 feet under, this boy has some Holy Ghost. I'd be plowing out like the old, what's that video game, Dig Dug, back in my day. Going way back, man, Dig Dug. My seed in me that Christ placed cannot perish. It cannot pass away. Man can't steal it. The world can't kill it. The devil can't do anything about it. Because I have been stamped and born again. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's read the scriptures. Y'all don't think I'm making this up. 27. Thou art the same, he says, talking about God. You are the same. And the years shall have no end. Isn't that great? No end. Let me tell you something. For this church here, don't do this. Now, I know I'm just the pastor. I'm just telling you. Some of you may have done this. Don't get mad if you have, but I don't know why you would do this. There's a thing on Facebook you may have seen, right? Or you put something in that tells you how and when you're going to die. Why do y'all do that? Number one, I don't want to know. My anxiety that I already have would be so elevated if I knew that March 22nd of 2062, I was going to be bit by a Doberman Pinscher and die of rabies. I don't want to know that. I would avoid every dog the rest of my life and get shots every day of the week. I don't know why we do that. We do not have that appointment with death if we are in Christ. He lives forever and there's no end to his years. And it goes in verse 28, the children of thy servants will continue and their seed shall be established before you. Understand, David's prophesying something. This word's coming out long before the death and resurrection of Christ. Long before the covenant was established. Long before redemption was made. And he is saying there's going to be a seed of God that's going to endure forever. There'll be no end to the years of that. And we know Christ did that and paid that price that we could have that. 1 Peter now, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, that's all the way back toward the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to skip through some of these verses, starting with verse 13. Peter says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Christ is a revelation. For those that don't know him, they don't have that revelation of who he is and what he did. But when the revelation of who Jesus is and what he did, he was not just a man on a cross. He's not something we wear around our neck or a good song or someone we swear by his name we're mad. Jesus Christ is the bridge that took us from death to life, from darkness to light. From being buried forever to being risen forever. Jesus did that. And the revelation that Peter saw when he asked Peter, who do they say I am? And Peter told him who he thought he was. You are Christ, the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but this has been given to you by revelation. Upon this, if you want to call it doctrine, upon this teaching will I build my church. The teaching of what? That Jesus Christ changed everything. And that when I was once dead, now I can be alive. I don't have to be afraid of what is to come, for my future is secure in him. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to leave this earth. There's too much arguing about all that. How's God going to return? How's it really going to happen? Look, church, I don't care. All I know is I'm his. And when it's time, Father's going to call me. And I'm going to know his voice. And whether I leave by the grave or whether I just walk out of Walmart and I'm there. Hope I walk out before I pay for the stuff. Hallelujah. Just hope he just, whew, there I am. Just takes me. There's a generation that's going to happen. There's a generation the glory of God is going to clothe the flesh of man without going through the process of leaving this earth. The Bible tells us that. Pastor, I've been hearing that all these years. They're talking about 2,000 years. Well, keep hearing it because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And whether I'm part of that or not, all I know is when I take my last breath, I will see the face of my God. And that's all that matters to me. I don't care about how it's going to happen or that exact. I mean, who knows how it's going to happen? We don't know how it's going to happen. I just know there's a kingdom that God has for me, and because I'm his seed, I'm going to inherit that kingdom. Be sober. Keep your mind straight. Keep it guarded. Don't let all this junk come in there. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Verse 18. For as much as you know, you are not redeemed. The word redeemed means to be bought back, to be purchased. You are not purchased with silver, corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish. Our life was bought back through the blood, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. My seed was activated when Jesus came out of the tomb. The third day when he rose and the stone was rolled away, the opportunity for my seed to never die began right then. The Bible says he was the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits. That means Stacy's a second fruit. And you're a third fruit. You're just fruity. And you're a fourth fruit. First fruits. Anytime you see first fruits, that means there's other fruits. He became the first one to raise from the dead in the way to pay the way for us. And just as Christ overcame death, so we will overcome death. We don't have to worry about what is to come if we are in Christ, because we know what's to come. I'm going to see you, Lord. I'm not going to worry about what all the trouble I have down here, you know, all the trouble and all the pain and all the worry and all the scars and all the stress and all the depression, because all of that's going to yield and give way to a greater glory that's in Christ Jesus, because he bought me back. I'm his. I've got his name. We used to say old sayings like this, and it's so true back in the old days, right? His blood runs through my veins. It does. The Bible says that I am a holy nation. Thank you. That I am, Roy, thank you. I hear you, Melody. Thank you. It's 1 Peter 1:9. I just went blank. But it's 1 Peter 1:9. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. We know that, right? I am special. I am different. I am his. God has called me into royal priesthood. Revelation 1 tells us that we are kings and priests unto God. That's us. That's how much he loves us. Our world, I don't care what anybody says, don't listen to all the naysayers, it says we die. Church, if the only purpose of this whole awareness of our lives were the few 60, 70, 80 years we live here, my Lord, what a miserable existence. I'm talking about as a whole. I know there's good times, like tonight at 5 o'clock. It's about 7:05. It'll be a good time. No, for Carolina. It'll be a good time. But we have good moments. I get that. But as a whole, man, life's hard. And to think that all I got to do is, you know, I grow up, hit my teenage years. That's horrible. Then you get married. I mean, that's, you know, either way. Then you have kids. My God, help me. Then by the time you get rid of your kids, you're old. And you can barely travel. And you're like, my God, I look back at my life. And I'm like, what happened? So if that's all there is, we'd be miserable. That's what the word says. But there's not. There's a higher and a greater purpose. There's a garden for us to walk in again. There's a dominion for us to have again. There's an authority to us to be in again. And we are his, and he is ours, and we will not be separated from him ever. Death, nor life, nor principality, nor powers, nor things to come, nor any other creature. Nothing can separate me from God. Even that old red-headed devil cannot stop my appointment, my assignment with my Savior. Can't stop it. And he is mad about that. And that's why he attacks so vehemently. But he can't touch us. He can't touch us. I'm sorry. All right. But thank you. Verse 23. Being born again, not, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Jesus came for you. The seed was given for you. The birth, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, all of it was for you. He came. Notice what it said here, and this throws a lot of people off too. It says that he was foreordained before the world began. People think Jesus only came, 2,000 years ago in the flesh, yes, but he's always been. He's always been. But this gift was planted in the earth 2,000 years ago. This gift, this sacrifice was planted. This seed of Christ, the one, I want you to think about this. I've talked about this before. This one seed of Jesus, one seed of Christ, death and resurrection, has produced millions and millions and millions and maybe billions of children. One seed. He don't have to be buried again. Think about this. You plant one watermelon patch one time your whole life. Just one. And you have watermelons the rest of your life. I mean, you never have to cultivate it. You never have to go replant it, redig it, redo it again. I mean, you ain't got to spray anything on it. You just plant a watermelon patch one time. And the rest of your life, till you die, you've got big old watermelons all the time. Jesus planted a seed one time. And that one seed produced the salvation of the 5,000 in the upper room experience, 3,000 in the upper room experience. Then it produced salvation in the next generation and the next generation. Just in my own family, that one seed gave my grandmother eternal life, gave my mother eternal life, gave me eternal life, gave my daughter eternal life. The same seed, not a different seed. I say this all the time, we don't need a different Holy Ghost. We don't need a different movement. We don't have to trick people with donuts and coffee to get them saved. We just preach the word. And we let the word stand on its own. And I'm going to tell you something. When God wants to get a hold of you, he don't have to come through a cappuccino to get you. He'll grab you right where you're at. And he'll stir your heart. Because when the true anointing of God is preached, that's what shakes the kingdom of hell. Because that name of Jesus breaks every yoke of bondage. This seed's eternal. I've seen that in four generations of my family. The same Jesus saved four of us. In four different dispensations. One got saved in the 40s. One got saved in the 60s. One got saved in the 80s. One got saved in the 90s. Or 2000s, whatever. Four generations, same seed, same God, same gift. Remember what Acts says when Peter was giving that message? He says, this Holy Ghost shall be given to all who call upon me, even those who are afar off. In other words, every generation past this can get the same Holy Spirit, can get the same gift of life, can get the same seed that'll change the world. I'm grateful for that. Boy, this is good preaching. Preach it, Pastor James. Amen, brother. Fist butt me, Pastor. There you go. All right. Verse 23. This is an important verse right here. An extremely important verse, 23. Being born again. People have a problem with that today. The yuppie or the hippie or the yippie or the yappy or whatever generation we're in, they have a problem with this born again expression. Born again, that's so outdated. What is it, born again? That's so religious. That puts me in such a box, born again. The Bible's clear on this. We're born one time, and we're born in sin. We come out of mother's womb with the sin nature in our hearts. And if we don't let Jesus come in and acknowledge that he paid the price for that sin nature, we die with that sin nature. So to be born again means that we're born once in sin in the flesh, but we're born again under righteousness through the Spirit. Born again, but here's the key part of this verse I want to expound on. We were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Our experience of salvation is birthed by incorruption. The word incorruptible means free from death and decay. It means everlasting. The seed that Christ placed in me does not decay, and there's no death in it. That tells me that when I have Christ, I only have life. That death stops working the minute the seed of life is planted. Death stops working in you. Let me get down here. Y'all aren't hearing me. Y'all picture yourselves in the casket right now. Look, get your mind off that. I want you to hear this. The moment the seed of Christ is in your heart, it stops the clock of death. You no longer have to worry about that appointment. It's been canceled. What about the casket? You're not there. The seed is more than your eyeballs and your hair and your arms and your legs. That's only the covering of the seed. The real seed's inside. You can't really see the real life that God's given you because it's not yet really come forth. But it will. So think about that. When I give my life to Christ, when I believe Him by faith, the clock of death, the appointment of death, the sentence of death, the judgment of death, that death and decay cannot last. The Bible just told me I'm born of an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible means free of death and decay. So what's the opposite of death? Life. So that means I now have life through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. That's good news. Things pass away. We lose people we love. But if the seed of Christ is in them, they're not gone. They are forever. There is no expiration date on the soul of a Christian. There is no end term. There is no end of life, as hospice calls it. There is no end of life stages if Christ is in you. We don't die. We just pass on or pass over. You know, I've been to many funerals in black churches. And they don't use the word, they've died. If you notice, if you go to a black funeral, they will say this. They've passed over or they've passed on. They don't use that word. They passed over. They passed on. They passed over. They crossed over. That's what we do, church. We just cross over. You remember that? I'm telling my age here, but I'm an old Twilight Zone buff. Love the old Twilight Zones, the original black and white ones, not the new ones that came out with later. They was not good. The original ones. And the old man, his dog, was going coon hunting one night. And his old dog fell in the pond. And he jumped in after the old dog to save him. And they found themselves on the bank. The next morning, the sun was up, and the dog and him was laying on the bank. He didn't know what even happened. They're laying on the bank. They were dry. After being in the pond, they get up. So we better head home. Old mom be cooking breakfast. Be worried about us, old dog. Let's go. Well, he done died. Didn't even know it. He had died. He had crossed over. To me, this a secular show had a valid point of showing how seamless death, if you want to call it that, can be for the Christian. There is no separation. There is no waiting room. Tommy's not going to be in a waiting room waiting on whether he goes up or down. And he's sitting there sweating, saying, oh my gosh, I should have been better, Laura. Oh my gosh, I should have paid the tax man. Oh my gosh. He's not sitting there waiting and sweating. He's already there. Seamless transition. Go to the next verse, 24. All flesh is grass. We know this. All flesh is grass, which means all flesh is going to fade away. All the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers. and the flower falls away. Do any of you look like you did 20 years ago? Some of you may look better, but do not look at my sophomore picture in the yearbook. It is absolutely horrible. The worst picture. I don't know why I didn't think to take my 10-inch glasses off my head before I got that picture. I look like the nerd of my class. It was horrible. But none of us look like we did 20 years ago. We run to folks, oh, you ain't changed none. They lying to you. We changed. We ain't all that in a bag of chips no more. We changed. We walk slower. We bend slower, if we can even bend. We pray to God we don't fall because we're going to stay there. Somebody helps us up. We change. Our flower fades away. Talking about the outward part of us, it fades away. Next verse. But the word of the Lord, it goes on forever. What God is, what God has done, and what God says goes on forever. So what, my flower fades off my flesh. The seed inside of me does not fade away. The Bible says also, 1 Peter, I believe, that we have an inheritance that's undefiled, it's uncorruptible, it's reserved in heaven, it fadeth not away. That's good news. His word endures forever. This is the gospel which is preached to you. John 12:24. This is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus was the seed that died for humanity. If he hadn't have died, there would have been no fruit. The seed had to first die before the fruit could be produced. We're the fruit, church. We are the fruit of Christ only because he planted the seed. If the seed wasn't planted, we would still be in our sins. For those who deny they're in sin, the Bible says, you know, they make God a liar. I mean, we all are in our sins until we acknowledge that Christ paid the price for those and we give him our lives. Jesus, cover my sins. Next verse. This is talking about Lazarus, John 11:25. Jesus said to her, talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. Then the next verse I love even more. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Man, we don't have anything to fear if the seed of God is in us. He says, do you believe this, disciples? Do you believe what I'm telling y'all? That if you believe in me, you're never going to die. We need to understand what the word of God is saying and quit just quoting scripture we heard our whole lives and not know what they mean. I mean, how many times we hear preachers or we quote, we don't even know what the scripture means. We've always heard it, so we quote it. Let's find out what it means. I'm never going to die. How many funerals you hear that at? The preacher says, they didn't die. They never died. If they're a Christian, they can't die. Here's why. A seed can only produce what it's meant to produce. It can only be what it's got to be. If you want a good, juicy watermelon, you don't plant squash seeds. Squash cannot produce watermelon. It can only produce what it is. You can only be what you are. The couple I've been counseling for marriage are young, and I was telling them, look, here's one thing. You think you can change them? You're not going to change the person. You know what you're marrying before you marry them. So don't whine 2 years later, I didn't know. Yeah, you did. You knew how they were. Been living together 3 years, 4 years, 10 years. You know how they were. Don't act like all of a sudden you got married, they changed. You know what you got. I ain't changed Melly none. But she sure has changed me. We know what we're getting. If your fiance, your wife, when you married them was kind of stubborn, well, I get that out of them, they're going to always be stubborn. That's in them. Unless God supernaturally, Holy Ghost, delivers them, they're going to be stubborn. So quit trying to change that. That's who they are. If they get on your nerves when you're dating, wait till you're married. A seed can only produce what it is. This is why in the old days when kings and princes were promoted up, they didn't come from outside the kingdom. They come from within the royal family, the seed of the king, the seed of the prince, the seed of the queen, the seed of the princess. They came up in that birth order because that's what they were. Jesus is the seed that was planted for humanity. And when that seed becomes inside of us, the only thing it can produce is life and eternal life. That's all it can produce. There is no death in the seed of Christ. There is no decay. There is no going back. There is no release and forgetting me and throw me away. The seed is in there, and the seed will manifest what it's meant to manifest. And that is for us, the sons and daughters of God. That's what we're going to be. That's what we are. And that's what we shall be, is the sons and daughters of God. The seed don't lie. You do a DNA test on a daddy, right? See who the daddy is. Which you girls should know this, okay? But who's the daddy? They do a DNA test, right, to track out where the seed came from. They can track it down. They can scientifically figure out, oh, you're the dad. No, you're not the dad. They can do it by the bloodline. They can do it by the blood work. All that stuff they can detect, I mean, to a pretty accurate degree, whether you're the dad or not. The seed don't lie. And the seed of Christ don't lie. We are forever. And I am so thankful that we are forever. Don't let the devils discourage you to not enjoy the life you live, because there's much more to come. There's a better life yet to be a part of. And we that are His are going to experience that life. You're forever. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. I'm so thankful that death cannot hold me, and the grave will not ever keep me, and hell will not hold me, because the seed of Christ is in me. And that seed cannot ever be extinguished. You, church, are forever. And I'm thankful. Don't think because one passes away they're facing death. They're not. I do believe in a seamless transition. I don't believe in a separation. People said, well, you know, the Bible talks about, some churches teach this. I don't get into all that this morning. I'm going to tell you what I believe. We don't measure time in the kingdom like we do here. Time and space is not like, in the kingdom of God, not like it is in the earth. So people say, well, I believe when people die, they lay there in the grave until the great resurrection day, and then the dead in Christ, they'll come up at that point. Well, time and space aren't the same. So even if that were true, the degree that you think someone laid in the ground for 500 years before they ever have life, in the kingdom of God, that could be an instantaneous thing. It's not 500 years to them. It could be an instantaneous thing. That's how the kingdom works. See, we can't measure time in God's world like we do in this world. Even the Bible says that, you know, to a thousand years is as a day, and days a thousand years. It's not even equivalent. So don't get hung up on, well, I could be laying out in that grave for 500 years. You're not going to know you're in that grave. You are going to see the face of God. And I believe those that pass on have that immediate experience in the presence of God. Immediate. There's no waiting around, laying there, decaying away in a grave until your new body comes. There is an immediate translation into the kingdom of God. Well, let me give you an example. Remember the Old Testament? Had two of them, right? Had Elijah. Who was the other one? Enoch, yes. Enoch. Remember what happened to them? They were walking along, right? Walking along in their little robe and sandals, on that dirt road, petting a camel. Talking their Hebrew talk. I ain't gonna have that talking. And they're talking their Hebrew stuff. And all of a sudden, as they're walking, a chariot came, swooped Elijah up, carried him off. He didn't go to no grave, did he? He immediately, I don't think the chariot took him to plot number 6 and dropped him off. I'm carrying you away to this gray plot. Stay there and I come back. He was gone. And they went looking for him, remember? And Elisha said, you ain't going to find him. He's gone. You ain't going to find him. He's out of here. He is not present. And they went and looked for days and days, came back. You're right, we can't find him. Because he was gone. He was translated. Remember the transfiguration of the mount where Jesus' disciples are there and Moses, was it Moses and Elijah appeared? And Peter said, should we build make a sacrifice or whatever? And he called them by name. Remember that? He called them by name. If Moses and Elijah were in the grave, why were they there? Why was there? So we got to look at things a little differently, a little deeper, and realize their presence was already eternal. Their presence was already there. They were already in the presence of God. I don't believe in a separation. I believe in immediate entrance into his kingdom. And that's what gives Christians the hope that we don't have to fear what death brings. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to see you, Lord, because this seed goes on. And it goes on forever. Come on up here, Marjorie, if you would. I want to encourage you this morning in this message to think about your life and where you are now. And I want you to dwell upon this. Am I forever? I can't be forever just by coming to church. I can't be forever just by believing that there's a God. But I become forever by acknowledging and accepting that Jesus planted his seed in my life, that I will become forever. Salvation, true salvation, is wrought by faith. It's wrought by faith. Faith and belief that Jesus, you're the only name, as Marjorie sung earlier, the only name I know. What that really means is the only name that matters. It's the only name that brings salvation. It's the only name that brings deliverance. It's the only name that brings healing is Jesus. We cannot talk about our faith without including Christ. We can't get to heaven or the kingdom without going through Christ. We can't get there dodging that component of faith. He paid the price in full. That's why he came. He rode that donkey into Jerusalem a week before what we call Easter Sunday. They call it Palm Sunday. And he rode that donkey. And everybody thought he was coming to take over. He's going to take over. He's going to become our king now. And he's going to restore the kingdom now. But he rode that donkey into Jerusalem because he was surrendering himself and giving himself up unto death. People were cheering and laying palm leaves down and praising him. Hosanna, great is the Hosanna. And I'm sure Christ was smiling and probably waving, but inside knew what the mission was. And he was going to a cross to pay a price that we could be eternal. Things happen quickly. A car wreck can take your life quickly, can it, Paula? You could be gone just like that. A disease or sickness can take us quickly. Things can happen in a moment. We think we have forever to become forever, but we don't. If God is stirring your heart this morning, if God is dealing with you anyway to say, I want you, calling you today to be mine. I want to plant my seed of grace in your life that you can become mine. I want the church and everyone here to leave here knowing that the seed in you will not die. That there's no fear of what is to come. There's no fear of what's tomorrow, but you'll know what is tomorrow, and that is your soul being secure. If God is stirring you anyway, if the church would just pray just for a minute. And I'm just going to open the altar to say this. If you want to, by faith,
Say, Jesus, plant your seed in me today. I just want you to come to the altar and talk to him and ask him that. Say, Lord, plant your seed in me. I want you to plant your seed in me. That God, I become impregnated with the glory that you have waiting on me. Plant your seed in me. That I will be birthed as a new creation in you. That I'll be born again out of sin and into righteousness. If that's you, I want to open the altar up just for a moment to come up here and just talk to him and ask him to come into your heart. Say, Lord, I need your seed in my life. And I give you my life today that I can be yours forever. Go ahead and sing a little something real softly, Marge, if you would. To come, I'm not going to extend it long. I believe in honoring your time and honoring the Holy Spirit. So if God is drawing anyone, it's the time to come and just say, Lord, I need you. I believe in you. And I want you in my life today. Would you save me and change me today forever? That I know I'm yours. That when my time comes, I know I'm forever. If that is you, I'll have her sing it just a couple more times. And that you come to the altar. Ask the congregation to stand if you would. Let's worship in this song together. praise this morning. You're forever. You're forever. You hear me? You're forever. Forever. Lord. We're forever, Lord. We're thankful. We're forever. Thank you, Jesus.
Standing in your presence once again. Lifting holy hands to you. Here we are. Basking in your glory one more.
Sing it, church.
Anthony, would you come up here, if you would, please? I don't think I've ever done this before, ever, in all these years. I feel led to do this right now this morning. Anthony, won't you stand right here, if you would? You're how old? 14? 15. Turn around and face the congregation. Anthony is 15 years old. Y'all might have saw me, may not. If you're praying, you may not have saw him, but you came to the altar this morning. Bow down to the Lord. I want all my millennials, if you're born between 1982 and 2002, all the millennials, I want you to come up here and give them some love. Come up here and hug them. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you'll be praying for them. All the millennials, come give them some love this morning. I'll stay there. I'll get a picture of this. Hey, man, let me get up here, Eric. I'll stay put for just a minute. How beautiful is this, our millennial generation? Watch over their lives, that you direct them, that you help them. God, that they always put you first. I know they're facing so many challenges. So many bad things are out there trying to trap them and ensnare them. But God, your hand of mercy and your hand of grace is stronger than any weapon formed against them from the devil. And I pray for complete deliverance, protection, all of their days, that they will all, everyone up here, will all one day serve you and call you their Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hand, beautiful. Beautiful. Y'all can be seated and receive our offering. The usher can come up here at this time.
want to also note that 7 years ago today, 7 years ago today, my Ashley got saved. So it's kind of her 7-year anniversary. So congratulations. We know. We're parents. We roll like that.